Okay, we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is continuing the series of Mishnayot that we've had so far in the parak, which is Ein Bo Chatim Me'Esrim V'Achat Tekiot B'Mikdash. There are no less than 21 Tekiot in Mikdash. V'Lo Musivim Al Arba'im Mushmonim. And we do not have more than 48 Tekiot in the Mikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah goes through the reason for the numbers of tekiot that are associated belong with the shofar for the start of Shabbat, associated with the karbanot, the yomim tovim.
The Mishnah in Sukkah tells us about what those tekiot were. The 21 tekiot derived from the fact that on a daily basis they used to blow 3 tekiot of tekiat shearim when they opened up the gates in the Azara. 9 latamid shel shachar, 9 for the korban in the morning that was brought to the tamid shel shachar, and 9 latamid shel ben arbayim, which gives you the 21 on a daily basis. B'musafim, if they had musafim, they also added on an additional 9 blows. That would be the 21 plus 9 will get you up to 30. If it happened to be Erev Shabbat, that would add on an additional 6 tekiot that were used to tell the people that the Shabbat was coming. And that would get you up to 36. And if it was Erev Shabbat that turned out to be on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, in the middle of Sukkot, where they also had the Nisuch HaMayim, the Avodah involved with Nisuch HaMayim had an additional 12 tekiot that came along with it, and that gets you up to the 48. So that's the span of 21 to 48 tekiot, which is discussed in the Mishnah in Sukkah, and just brought here as part of the collection of Mishnayot that have Ein Pochatim ve'Ein Yeter.
Ein Pochatim Mishnei Nivalim. We have no less than 2 harps in the Mikdash. Lo mosifim al shisha. And we have no more than 6 harps in the Mikdash. Rashi says, velo itbereish taimo. I don't know the reason why that we have from the 2 to 6 harps. That we don't have any definition anywhere of why there are 2 to 6 harps. Ein po chatim mishnei chalidim. We don't have less than 2 flutes. Velo mosifim al shnei masar. And we don't have more than 12. And Rashi over here says about the flutes, it's in Hayurotzim. You have the ability, if you want, to increase up to 12. To represent the 12 days on which they used to use the Chalil by the Mizbeach. And therefore you can have no less than 2 Chalilim, but even up to 12 Chalilim. And the Mishnah explains, there are 12 days a year in which the Chalil was used before the Mizbeach, v'shkitat ha-Pesach, Rishon, v'shkitat ha-Pesach Sheni, the Korban ha-Pesach, when they brought it the first time, when they brought it on Pesach Sheni, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, Shmonat Yimei Achag, those are the days on which they used to use the Chalil. So now that's 8 days that are associated with Sukkot. It's Yom Tov of Shavuot, the Yom Tov of Pesach, that's 10, and then you have the 2 Korbanei ha-Pesach, that gets you to 12, So those are instances in which they use the Chalil in terms of the Mikdash. The reason being, because in all those times they read the Hallel, Hallel Shalem, that was associated with some form of Korban or some sort of Avodah in the Mikdash. Therefore the Chalil was associated with those Korbanot to accompany the Hallel. V'lo yamaka b'avuv, shel nechoshet. They did not use the Nebuv of shel nechoshet. The Gemara later on will say the Nebuv and Chalil are the same, just that they didn't use these copper pipes. Ela bavuv shel kanet. They used one made out of wood, reed, neishu kol arei, because it has a beautiful sound. Lo yeh mechalek ela bavuv yechidi. The completion of the flutes, they used to end off with a single flutist. Meneishu machlik yafa, because it ends off in a beautiful way. Of dekoanim hayu, divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says these musicians were the servants of the Kohanim. Biosi omer mishpachat beit pagrim, or pagris beit zifra, me amum, that they were these 2 families that had the special skills or musical skills. They were the ones who blew the instruments and played for the karbanot. And the last one, Rabbi Chanina ben Adignus omer leviim hayu. They were actually leviim, they weren't even Kohanim, or nothing to do with the Kohanim. Three-way machloket with regards to who were those musicians that we are speaking about over here. As Rashi points out, ubishat hakrava hayash shir ze. The time they were makriv the karbon, they used to have this shir. Vayu al leviim mishorim b'peh. The leviim used to sing with their mouth at the halel. Ba'otan yudbet yamim v'chalalim mechalalim. And the flutes would be playing alongside of them. Shar yamim on the other days ayu nivalim v'tzaltzal v'kinorot. They had the other instruments, which were the harp, the cymbals, the lyres, v'shir hayu oto shir mufrash b'shoshana, and the shir that they sang on the other days was the shir shel hayom, like we do, echad b'shabbat l'shem haratzim malal, and sheni gadol l'shem malal. So the shirim of every day was the shir shel yom. On these particular days, the shir revolved around the korban and the halel that was said with the korban, and therefore the halel was added in in order to accompany the shira of the Hallel. Gemara says at first, Matnitan to local Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bechot loyvchot misheva, v'mosif loyosif al sheish esre. In terms of tkiot, you should have no less than 7, and no more than 16. Our Mishnah says no less than 21, no more than 48. But my kamiflegate, what are they really arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, kiyah shuat tkiyah hachadahi. That when you blow a tkiyah, then a shua and a tkiyah, that's counted as one. Vanan savre, tkiyah luchud, shua luchud, tkiyah luchud. Each sound is an independent, and they're counted independently. Therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says 7, he means 7 times 3. 7 means 7 series of tkiyah, shua, tkiyah, which will equal the 21 of the Chachamim. When he says 16, it means 16 series of tkiyah, shua, tkiyah, which is the 48 of the Chachamim. So in the end, they are saying the same thing, but they're expressing it differently because of their view about how we look at these series called tkiyah, shua, tkiyah. Yehuda looks at them as a single entity, a single unit, whereas the Chachamim look at them as independent units. The way Rashi explains it, let's see in a second, he says, Olam kol chada mitzvah ba'ape nam fachal. Each one is an independent mitzvah. The tkiyah, the shkua, and the tkiyah are all independent mitzvot. And that's not necessarily the conclusion that you would have to draw from this Gemara. You could distinguish between them being a single mitzvah and them being independent kolot versus them being a single unit, single mitzvah. But Rashi sees them as being independent mitzvot as well as independent kolot according to the Chachamim. So my time is the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Dichtiv, uktikatim chua, dichtiv chua itkau. You see that the Torah interchanges the terms. Utkatem chua, you will blow a chua, or tev chua itku lemaseyem. So when the chua and tkiya are getting mixed up, interchange one in front of the other. Shmarina, tkiya chua, utkiya kadahis. And there you can see that they're all considered to be a single unit, because it's using them interchangeably. The tkiya first, then the chua, then the tkiya. And it doesn't seem to pay any heed to the order and to the mixing up of the words or the usage of chua and tkiya, and therefore there must be all one unit. Rabbanan, how the pshuta lefinah, pshuta lecharel, da'ato. That's exactly what that comes to teach us. That comes to teach us that you have to have a tkiya, then a chua, utkatim chua. And the other side is that after your chua, itko, that you also have a tkiya on the other hand. That's what teaches us the series of tkiya, chua, tkiya. That you need a tkiya before and after the truah. Rabbanon, my time in dichtiv, bakila tekahau, titko velo tariyu. Rabbanon, what's the reason behind their shita? Because the pasuk says in balotcha, when it's discussing what you're going to use the chatzotzrot for, it says, bakila tekahau, when you gather the people together, titkiu velo tariyu. You'll blow a tkiya and not a truah. Well, that seems to distinguish between them. Isachadatha tkiya truah, utkiya chadahi. You think the unit called tkiya truah tkiya is one. Then Amar Rahmana Avid Pago de Mitzvah, and the Torah says, come do half a mitzvah. If you're considered a single unit, a single entity called Tkiyah Shua Tkiyah, how could they suggest just blow a Tkiyah for the gathering together of the Kahal, and nothing and not a Truah? Well then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a unit. The unit comes together, it's a package deal. Tkiyah Shua Tkiyah, you never separate them. According to Chachamim, they're independent sounds. The Torah demands that we bring them together. A Tkiyah, then a Truah, then a Tkiyah. But they remain independent sounds. So over here, where you have the Torah making a demand that you only blow a tkiya and not a trua, that sounds more like the Chachamim, that you're talking about independent sounds here, than Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a single entity. Rabbi Yehuda, siman ba'almahu. But over there, it's not a mitzvah. Over there, it's just a siman that the cow should get together. So when they blow a separate sound over there, that's not blowing a sound for a mitzvah. It's blowing a sound just to tell everybody to come and join and get around the Ol Moed. For that, we don't say that tkiya, trua, tkiya is a single entity. Over there, you can blow them separately. But when it comes to mitzvot, then we would, for certain, would say that they are a single entity. Manaz lahadama Rav Kahano. Who does this statement of Rav Kahano go like? Ein ben tkiya lechua velo klum. There's no separation between a tkiya and a chua at all. Kiman, ki Rabbi Yehuda. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda sees them as a single mitzvah. Then you would not separate at all between the tkiya, chua, tkiya. You'd blow them in a single breath. You'd blow them in a single shot. You wouldn't break between them because they're not separate sounds. They're considered to be a single entity. Therefore, Rav Kahana is obviously going like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what my says, pshita. Ma'udetema. No. I would have thought, afilu ki rabbono natio. But it even goes according to the rabbono. No, lafukim into Rabbi Yochanan. And all Rav Kahana coming to say is that he's not holding like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Damar, shamat tesha tkiyot with tesha sheot bayom. Someone who hears 9 kolot over the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, that he's Yatzah, he's Yotzeh, his Mitzvah Shofar, Kamash Vilan, that we would have said that that's the case, and Rav Kahana is coming to say, what does it mean for lo klum? Lo klum doesn't literally mean there's no space between them. Just saying that they have to be in close proximity. I don't think, like Rav Yochanan, they could just be spread across the day. And Kamash Vilan is that that's not what he's saying. Kamash Vilan, that he's actually holding like Rav Yehuda, that there's absolutely no space between them. And Rashi, interestingly, describes, Afukim and Rabbi Yochanan is Damar Gavir Shana Shama Teshek Tgiot over the day. Shlosha Malchiot, Vishlosha Zichonov, Vishlosha Shafarot, Vitesha Shot, Shisha Shaab, and Golachad Vachad Yatza. He says that even if you blow them over the whole span of the day, you still Yotze. It's interesting that Rashi extends here this connection or correlation between the Tkiot, Malchiot, Zichonot, and Shofarot. That's not the context, or that is not what Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about. Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about the Tesha Kolot of the Tkiot Midoraita. And he's talking about blowing those Tkiot over the span of the day, not necessarily connected to the Brachot, and not connected to the Brachot. Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. In fact, the Rashi over here adds in Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. It's interesting that he correlates them with the Shofar. And that's an interesting fact that Rashi sees Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot as being Midoraita. He mentions it both in Parish and Chumash as well as in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, which is very problematic because the Gemara in the last parak of Rosh Hashanah clearly states that the Brachot and Rosh Hashanah are Dirabonon, and the Tkiot are Deoraita. The Rashi always seems to correlate between the Brachot and the Tkiot that they're Deoraita. Soloveitchik said over that he believed that there was a difference between Brachot with Tkiot versus just the Brachot alone. It's true that if you have the Brachot alone, they're only a Din Dirabonon. But if you blow the Tkiot along with the Brachot then become Deoraita, because the Tkiah and the Teruah Tkiah, those kolot that you blow alongside of the Tefillah, are a part of the Tefillah. They become part and parcel with the Tefillah. And together, they become a Tefillah, or a single unit of Tefillah. And therefore, there's a Kiyum De'oraita with the Tefillah that is together with the Tkiot. And that's what he thinks Rashi is referring to in all these instances, where Rashi associates or correlates the Brachot with the Tkiot. And you see him doing it here again in Arachin. So when I says, why don't we say in Ochanami? That's exactly what Rav Kahana meant. He came to exclude from Yochanan. Im kein mai velo klum. The term velo klum is too extreme to be just coming to undermine Rabbi Yochanan's position. He's arguing in Rabbi Yochanan. All he has to say is you have to do them close together. You have to do them in a small period of time. Tok sha'a. The fact that he says velo klum sounds like as if there's absolutely no break between them. Absolutely no break between them is like Shita Rabbi Yehuda not coming to undermine or to argue on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's an indication that he means literally lo klum, in that there is no spacing between them. They're a single kol. Tkiah, Teruah, Tkiah become a single entity, a single unit. Right, so now we have a very famous Gemara, which is 12 yom b'shana maka b'chalil, and there are 12 days a year where they blow the flute. My shahani. What's different about these 12 days? Ho, v'yochid gomer v'hen et halel, because these 12 days are days in which we finish the halel. We say the entire halel. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Shub Yehud Tzadak. There are 18 days during the year in which we read the complete Hallel. 8 days of Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeret. 8 Yimei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach. Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, the Yom Tov of Shavuot, the one day of Shavuot. Ubergola, and when it comes to Chutz Laaretz, there's Esrim Ve'achat, 21. They have all the same of Eretz Yisrael, plus the additional days for Sveika de Yoma, which means that on Sukkot, on Shavuot, and on Pesach, you're going to add an additional 3 days. 18 plus 3 is 21. That's what the Gemara says. Tisha Yemei Achag, 9 for Sukkot. Shmona Yemei Chanukah is the same, the 8 days of Chanukah. Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach. Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Atzeret, and the 2 days of Shavuot. There you have the 21 days in which we are Gomer at the Hallel. Now, Tosafot asks over here, we mentioned in our Mishnah the fact that there are other days where we're Gomer Ben Atalel, which is Shkitat HaPesach. That's when you bring the Pesach and you doubt it. So he says, how come that's not counted here? So he says, Hadi Lochoshi Ver Pesach, the Azhavu Luhu, Yom Tov, Shuntalav Yelav Migdash, Lochoshi Luhu. Since that's only true in the Migdash, when the Migdash is not extant, there is no Gemirat HaHalel on Erev HaPesach, therefore it's not included in this list of 18 and 21. Technically, it should be 19 or even 20 days, if you include Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, in which they were Gomer et Halel alongside the Shkita et Pesach. That's number one. Number two is, Gemara just said here, there are 18 days on which the Yachid is Gomer Behem et Halel, that he finishes the Halel. What is the alternate side of that statement? There are 18 days in which you finish the Halel. That means that there are other days when you don't finish the Halel. And that's where the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it on the next Amud. Rabbeinu Gershom says, well, there are 18 days where you're Gomer to Hallel, but there are also days where you're not Gomer to Hallel. That means that you say Chatzi Hallel. On the other hand, Tosafot over here discusses what's the alternative on the other side. It's a very important Tosafot, fundamental Tosafot in terms of the minhag of the Ashkenazim with regards to Hallel. And that is over here in Yilchet Yamim, Sheyafid Gomer to Hallel, perish. Ubshar Yamim Ein Omrim Oto Klal. We don't say it at all. Gomrim by Emet Hallel means those are the days you do say Hallel, on the other days you don't say Hallel whatsoever. Can't explain that then the other days you read the Hallel, you just read a Chatzi Hallel, you don't read a full Hallel, because we're going to see in a second that the Gemara discusses the qualifications for Hallel. And over there it discusses about Rosh Chodesh. And it sounds like from the Gemara that they feel that on Rosh Chodesh you don't say Hallel at all, not that you're saying a Chatzi Hallel. Mashma, da'ayin chobad omro klal v'Rosh Chodesh v'Pesach. On the other days of Pesach, Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to say it at all. Pein mashma v'ach Masechet Tanit. Also the story in Masechet Tanit, Rav Iklo l'Bavel, chazinu dekaru l'halelo v'Rosh Chodesh, he was sitting there reading Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because Avraham Svekinu, he wanted to stop in the middle. Came into the Shema Dalgei, since he saw them skipping, Amar minag v'tayim b'yadim, that's the minag over there. Mashma, Shreva Yisuvir, shalei omrim halelo toklal. That Rav felt he didn't say Hallel whatsoever on Rosh Chodesh. They had a minag when he went over to Bavel, you saw them doing that, but he himself had never had seen a practice like this before. From that you can conclude that whenever we say Chatzi Hallel, it's a minhag. It's not an obligation like the other 18 days. Clear from this that the Gemara believed there were 18 days in which you said a Hallel. Any other day you do not say Hallel, period. Nothing whatsoever. The fact that we say a Chatzi Hallel on any of these days, including Rosh Chodesh, including the other days of Pesach, that all is a derivative of Minhag. And since it's a derivative of Minhag, we don't relate to it as a Chovah, as an obligation, but rather as a Minhag, and that has implications, including whether you should make a Bracha on it. Do you make a Bracha on a Minhag? The Gemara in Sukkah, with regards to the Arava, with regards to the Oshana Rabba, says that since it's a Minhag Nevi'im, we do not make a Bracha on it. There are no Brachot on a Minhag. So that would mean that we shouldn't make a bracha on Chatzi Hallel, which is actually the practice of the Sfaradim. Sfaradim make a bracha on Hallel of Ligmor et Hallel. So when they're not Gomer et Hallel, they don't make a bracha. But we as Ashkenazim are sumeich on this next line in the Tosafot, which is the Rabbeinu Tam. Even though it's only a minhag, you still have to make a bracha on the minhag. And he brings a proof from the fact that otherwise Rav would have known that the reason that when they were saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, for instance, that case where he wanted to stop them and then he realized that they're skipping in the Hallel, he should have known that it wasn't a real Hallel because they didn't make a bracha to start it. How come Rav didn't know automatically? If they didn't make a bracha in the beginning, he knew they weren't saying the full Hallel because they didn't make a bracha. But the fact that he didn't know that from the beginning of the Hallel because of the bracha, what they were about to do, that means that they did make a bracha. So that's his evidence from that story by Rav. You could argue that Rav came in later. It came in after they had made a bracha and just saw them saying Hallel. Could argue against the Rabbeinu Hanan. And Rabbeinu Tam continues to say, "Lo domi lahay de kamer pergulah v'arava." Not like what I just described about Oshana Rabba. I mean, halgal lo megvarchinan. Hani merely tiltul the minhag kamo arava. That's only talking about when you a minhag to pick something up or carry something around. There you don't make a bracha. Vakriya the minhag mevarchim. When a minhag about reading something, some religious liturgy. Over there, you do make a bracha, and that would be here by Chatzi Hallel that you should make a bracha because of that. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananel perish yachid lo yatchil bebracha. Yatchil bebracha gomer. That the Rabbeinu Chananel says that a yachid should not say a bracha. If he happens to say a bracha, he can finish it, but otherwise he should not make a bracha. And that is actually brought down the halacha that it's preferable when you're saying Chatzi Hallel and making a bracha on Chatzi Hallel that you be with a minion. The Ramah says in the end that b'di'eved, if you are a yochid, you can make a bracha on Hallel, Chatzi Hallel when you're alone. But it's much more preferable because there are many Rishonim who believe that the bracha that's associated with the minhag is only true in the context of minion, not in the context of a yochid. Just like we have another situation like that on Chanukah. On Chanukah, we light the Chanukiah in the Beit Knesset. That's a minhag. But that's only done when you have a minyan, and it's done between mincha and ma'ariv to ensure that's in the context of minyan. In the context of minyan, you make a bracha on a minhag. But outside the context of minyan, we do not make a bracha on a minhag. And therefore, many people are makpid to make sure that they daven with the minyan every day, but especially on days where they say Chatzi Hallel, in order that they say the bracha along with the minyan, because it might be that minhag only requires bracha in the context of minyan. Again, the Ramah has a dispensation there if you happen to be alone and you don't have a chance to say with the Zebra that you can make a bracha. But this is impacted by what we just read here. Mikom akom nakut the Rabbeinu Tam biyadcha, that the Tosafot concludes, keep that Rabbeinu Tam says, the tov levarech liyachid na'ami b'tchila, it's good for a yachid to make a bracha. No, he's not obligated to say it. Since he determines he wants to say it, that's not a bracha levatala. Again, that's what the Ramah quotes to say that a yachid can make the bracha. Why? Just like women make brachot on a mitzvah that says she's man grama, even though they're not chayavot. They're allowed to do the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of shofar, and make a bracha on that mitzvah. But that's exactly the machloket. That's Rabbeinu Tam, the shitato. Rabbeinu Tam believes, we've seen this in a number of places, that a woman on a mitzvah that says she is man grama, where she is turah, she opts in to do the mitzvah, she can make a brach on it. That shita Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam compares this to that. But the Sfaradim believe, who argue on the Rabbeinu Tam, that you, first of all, you cannot make a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not obligated in. Therefore, women who are Sfaradim do not make brachot on mitzvah that says she's man grama, which they opt into. They don't make a bracha on the lulav. They don't make a bracha on tkiyat shofar. They won't make a bracha possibly on Sfirat HaOmer. All these items to wrote from, if they opt in to do it, they don't make a bracha according to Sfaradim, and that would be true by Hallel as well. You can't compare the Hallel, and therefore, the Sfaradim don't make a bracha by Hallel. Yechidim that say it, and even Minyanim that say it, when it comes to non-full Hallel, a time when you're not gomer at Hallel, Sfaradim don't make a bracha on it. It's Chanukah and Shkita the Pesach. The difference between the 12 that's mentioned in the Mishnah and 18 that we have, Tosfot grabbed one of them, which is Shkita the Pesach, Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, where they said Hallel over the Shkita. That's what says the 18 list is after the Mikdash, or when the Mikdash is even not standing. 12 include those two, because it's talking about when the Mikdash is around, because the Chalil is associated with the Mikdash. The other difference is the 8 days of Chanukah. 8 days of Chanukah are not associated with Korban. They're Hallel over, we'll see in a second, a Nes, nothing to do with the Mikdash. And that'll give you the differential between two. So from 10 that are mentioned in our Mishnah to the 18 is the 8 days of Chanukah. The two additional in our Mishnah that aren't mentioned here are those of Shkita the Pesach Rishon and Shkita the Pesach Sheni. So where it says, let's look at the last line, Maishna b'chag damrinan kol yoma. Why is it different on Sukkot that we say a full hallel every day? Maishna b'pesach delo amrinan. Pesach, we don't say it every day. The Gemara answers, the famous answer is, kol yoma d'chag chalukin b'karbanoteyam. Every day of Sukkot, there's a different korban. It's indicative of the fact that each day of Sukkot has a different ofi. It's a different day. It's not a continuation of the same. The Pesach, enel chalukin b'karbanoteyam. But Pesach says, Ka'ela, Tasele Choyom, just like this. It's a continuation. Everything's a derivative of the first day. It's not that they're independent days. They're a derivative of what we brought on the first day. We just continue to bring every day. And therefore, there's no separate Hallel for each of those days. Shabbat, Dechalukah, Bekarbonotea, Lema. So why don't we say Hallel on Shabbat? Shabbat has a separate Korban. It's a different Korban, unique Korban Musaf that we bring every Shabbat. Why don't we say Hallel? It says, Lo Ikre Moed. It's not called a Moed. Since it's not called a Moed, it doesn't qualify for Hallel. So there's our second qualification for Hallel. One is it has to be Chalukim b'Karbanoteyam. Number two is it has to be called a Moed. Gemara asks, Rosh Chodesh, Ikrei Moed, Lema. Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, so why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh?
The fact that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed actually comes out from a difficult limud in the Gemara and Tanit, based on the Pasuk and Echa of Karalai Moed Lishbor Bachurai. Over there, the literal meaning of the Pasuk is that Hashem made it like a party appointed time to destroy the people. The Gemara and Tanit darshens it to tell us that Tammuz in that year was Malay, even though it's not originally Malay, and that's why Tisha B'Av in the time of the Midbar, when the Meraglim came back, fell out on Tisha B'Av and not the day before. So it is a difficult limud, but nevertheless, the Gemara associates the word Moed with Rosh Chodesh, and therefore is asking the question in that context.
Again, when they mean to say Hallel here, and this is one of the proofs that Tosfot had said before, they mean the Gemara Vayanat Hallel means to say Hallel, and the other option is to say nothing. So over here, the Gemara is saying that Rosh Chodesh, the Ikrei Moed, Lema, let us say Hallel. Let us say a full Hallel, otherwise we wouldn't say anything. It says, Lo Ikdash Asiyat Milacha. It doesn't have the Kedusha of Asiyat Milacha. It's missing the aspect of Moed that generates Isur Malacha, Tichdiv, Shir Iye Lechem Kaleil Hitkadesh Chag. So this Shir, this Hallel will be for you like the night that was designated for a holiday. This is actually the source for saying Hallel on the night of the Seder, Kaleil Hitkadesh Chag, saying Hallel along with the Korban of Pesach that's eaten at the Seder. Laila Mikudash Lechag, a night that is Mikudash to be a holiday, meaning that has Isur Malacha, Taun Shira. Requires Shira, requires Hallel. Shei Mikudash Lechag, Ein Tuan Shira. If it doesn't have that Kedusha that is Isur Malacha, does not require Hallel. So now, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Now you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They agree away. They qualify on that part. V'Gdush v'Asiyat Melacha. And they also have an Easter Melacha. And they're also Chalukim v'Kabanotem Lema. Then we should say it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's because of Mishum the Rabbi Bo. We don't say it because of Rabbi Bo. Don't Rabbi Bo. Amru Malachei Asherei Lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Beno Shalom Mipnei Ma En Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Why don't Bnei Yisrael say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Amalahem. Famous line, Efshar Melech Yosheva Kizei Adin. How could it be that the king is sitting on the chair of judgment, on the throne of judgment? Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mitim, Ptuchim Lefanav. And you fear you have the books of life and books of death open in front of him. Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanai. That would be appropriate for them to sing Shira at that time? That doesn't make sense. So the formulation that the Rambam uses, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim are days Simcha, they are days of Simcha, but lo, Simcha Yitera. But not too much Simcha. And that they sit in this space, twilight, between a regular Yom Tov and a day on which we would be scared to do anything that was musical or expressions of joy. But they are a Moed. So therefore there is some sort of twilight
tension
or in-between status that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur attain, that we do have Simcha on them, we do have associations of Simcha, but not Simcha Yetera, not enough Simcha that we would say Hallel on those days. Tosafot actually brings a nafka mina with regards to what we just said. The Malachi Asheret ask Hashem, why doesn't Bnei Yisrael sing Shira? Implying that the Malachi Asheret themselves did sing Shira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and therefore the girsa in the Machzorim is dependent on this. It says, and Tosafot brings down about Lomar Kvar Mipnei in Anu Omrim Shira. They don't ask why we don't say Shema. Mashma Shem Malachi Asheret Omrim Shira. Lukacha Mori Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim in the Daleg VaChayot Yishoruru UKruvim Yifireyu. That in the Machzor when it says HaChayot Yishoruru and Kruvim Yifireyu, it's okay to say it because they do say Shira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's only us that don't say Shira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, but they do say Shira on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, and therefore in the Machzor, which I think the gentleman who is to skip it, but we could say this because they do sing Shira, the Malachi Asheret, as opposed to us who don't sing Shira. You have to be in the proper frame of mind on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Despite our confidence and our simcha about the Yom Tov, we still have to be somewhat reserved because of the gravity of the day, which includes the Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mitim, Petuchim Lefanav. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, what about Chanukah? You mentioned Chanukah that has a full hal on it. Delo hochi, v'delo hochi. It doesn't have any of these things. I would have read it simply, delo hochi means it's not a moed, and it doesn't have an Isur asiyat melacha. So how come you have halel? Now, the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it, lo hochi, lo hochi, lo chaluk b'karban, v'lo mekudash l'chag, v'lo asur b'asiyat melacha. The Rabbeinu Gershom adds in that third qualification, which is the chaluk b'karban oteyem. It doesn't have a korban. It doesn't have kedushat hayom associated with siyat melacha. Hachi v'hachi means here asiyat melacha and korban. We would have read hachi v'hachi doesn't have moed, doesn't have asiyat melacha. Truth is, Chanukah doesn't have any of those three, which is interesting. The Rabbeinu Gershom reads it slightly differently than we would have read it. So since Chanukah doesn't have any of these, why do we say Hallel? Mar says, oh, that's not a problem, because Mishum Nisa. We say Hallel because of the Nes of Chanukah. It's not associated there, it's not associated with the Kedushat Hayom. It's associated with the miracle that transpired. So I say, okay, if that's the case, Purim Deika Nisa Lema. Purim, which is also a miracle, let us say it. So Amar Bitzel Lefish Ein Omrim Shira Al Nes Shebechutz La'aretz. We don't say Shira on a miracle that was in Chutz La'aretz. Matki Flo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Bar Yitziat Mitzrayim Dinei Shebechutz La'aretz Uva Amrinan Halel. Talking about Pesach, Yitziat Mitzrayim, we say Halel then. And that's about leaving Mitzrayim, which was in Chutz La'aretz. Kedetanya Achel Nichnesu La'aretz Hukshiru Kol Aratzot Lomar Shira. That before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, Hallel was allowed to be said over any miracle anywhere. From that point forward, only miracles in Eretz Yisrael were qualified to have Hallel said about them, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Purim is post that time, and it was outside of Eretz Yisrael, therefore it does not qualify to have Shira. So the first answer of the Gemara as why Purim does not have Hallel is, it's in Chutz La'aretz. And it's in Chutz La'aretz after Israel entered into Eretz Yisrael, and that means you're disqualified from having Hallel because you're not in Eretz Yisrael. That's one answer. Number two answer is, Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyata, Zuhi Halela. The Kriyata Megillah is the equivalent of Hallel. You do say Hallel on Purim, but its Hallel manifests itself through the Kriyata Megillah. Rav Nachman gives us a second answer. The Hallel manifests itself through the Priyat HaMigdah. Rav Amar, Bishlama Hotum Halulu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Paro. You begin the Hallel, Halulu Avdei Hashem, that we are Avdei Hashem, and no one else. We've left Paro behind, now we're Avdei Hashem, and no one else. Hocha, Halulu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh. Now we can't say, oh, we're Avadim of Hashem, and we have no other authority over us. Gati Avdei Charosh Anan. We're still under the dominion of Achashverosh. The freedom of Purim was not a complete freedom from any dominion of foreign authority. We still remain subjects of Achashverosh, and therefore it's not a complete simcha. See, there's a three answers brought in the Gemara Megillah as well. Three answers as to why we do not say Hallel on Purim. Two of them indicate that there's a fundamental issue, and therefore we don't say Hallel at all. That's Rava's answer about Halu Avdei Hashem. And also the answer of Rav Yitzchak, because we don't say Shira Al Nish Shibachutz Laretz. Those two are fundamental, that Hallel does not belong on Purim. Nachman gives an answer that says there is Hallel on Purim, it just manifests itself differently on Purim itself. In the Gemara, in the Megillah, there's some machloket as to the Girsa, about what the correlation is between these answers, whether some of them are connected together or are three independent answers. One of the most interesting comments on these answers is the Meiri. The Meiri says on Rav Nachman, when he says, Priyata Zu'elela, that Priyata Megillah is its Hallel, he takes that so literally. He says, if you can't hear the Megillah, or you can't read the Megillah on Purim, what should you do? Say Hallel. You have to say Hallel. If you can't read the Megillah, then you're Chayav in Hallel. And if you can't discharge your obligation through the Kriyata Megillah, then you say Hallel separately. That's the Shita de Meiri. Futner in the Pachad Yitzchak suggests that that shouldn't be the case. Even though, that's what Rav Nachman says, yet the equation is not exactly the same. It's not saying that the Kriyat Megillah and Kriyat Hallel are exactly equal. It is saying that the manifestation, that's how I read it before, the manifestation of Hallel on Purim comes through Kriyat Megillah. Kriyat Megillah, which involves Pesume Nisa, which involves Kol HaKahal together, so on and so forth, that's a certain type of Hallel. It's a unique type of Hallel that is associated with the Hallel of Purim. In Chanukah, we actually separate between the two. You can see this very clearly in the Rambam. In the Rambam, he talks about that the Megillah is the Hallel. But when it comes to Chanukah, he splits it up. He splits up the dinim that are associated with Purim and the Megillah into two parts. There's Kriyat HaHallel, and there's the lighting of the candles, the lighting of the Chanukiah. And the Rambam says that the lighting of the candles and the Kriyat HaHallel are connected to Megillah. He associates both of them with the Kriyat HaMegillah and Purim. So in Purim, the Pesume Nisa and the Hallel are joined or fused together. And therefore, the proper Hallel for Purim is to read the Megillah. And reading Hallel by itself would not be good enough, because they're not fused. You don't have that fusion. You need the fusion of the Pesume Nisa and the Hallel together. On Hanukkah, there are separate entities. There's Hallel, and there's also Pesume Nisa through the candles. And those are separate manifestations of those two dinim. And therefore, you could say Hallel by itself and light the candles by themselves.
So then saying the Megillah by itself.
Right, well, there's one fundamental question is, what's Pesume Nisa? Is Pesume Nisa necessarily for the recipients or the objects of the reading? I think that there's a strong possibility that Pesume Nisa is not about those who are receiving, but people who are doing the Pesume Nisa. That you are mefarsim the nes, but it's impactful for you. The fact that you are doing it in a public forum and you're doing it out has impact on the way that you relate to the mitzvah. And Pesume Nisa may not only be about others that see it, but it may be about your performance of the mitzvah in such a manner. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, it's clear by Megillah that the minyan makes a big difference, that Pesume Nisa has a big impact in terms of possibly brachot, possibly on the Megillah, in the halachot of Megillah, or Barov HaMadrid Melech, that we try to get to a bigger and bigger place. I mean, that there is a maile, a hidur in Kriyat HaMegillah that's associated with the Pesume Nisa of the Megillah reading. It's the same true of Nerot Chanukah. The more Pesume Nisa, the better the Nerot Chanukah. So you see that same association there. When you're dealing with Pesume Nisa, the more, the better. So thereby, Megillah, it manifests itself in the more people that are around when you read the Megillah. And Chanukah, it's the more public that the Neirot are. The more visible, the more Neirot there are, that might also be a manifestation or an expression of that Pesume Nisa. But there's only connected to the candles, not to the Hallel. Now the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Damar Kriyata Zu Halela. Rav Nachman, who's the only one who says that fundamentally there is a Hallel on Purim, it just manifests itself through the Kriyat HaMegillah. What does he do with the bright that we brought before? By bright da, itanya, michnanisukul aretz, lokshukul aretz olam ashira. Once we entered Eretz Yisrael, outside lands, we're not qualified for halal. Someone says, no, kevin shikalu, chazru la teiran arishon. That's true, while we live in the land of Israel. Once they were put into galut again, that opened up the possibility that they could be halal in galut. Alright. Lo aya maka ba'avuv shon lechoshet. They did not use a copper flute. Batach bechalil mesayim ba'avuv. The Mishnah started talking about a chalil, a flute, and then ends off with an abuv. Amar papa, hainu chalil, hainu abuv. Eino chanami. They're one item. They're a single entity. But my car they chalil. So why is the abuv called a chalil? The chalil kalei. Because it has a beautiful, sweet sound. It also comes from the word chalul, which means to be hollow. Which is that the flute is hollow, so that's also another description of it. Tarnabanav, abuv haya b'migdash, chalak haya, dak haya, shelkaneh haya, emot moshe haya. Flute that was found in the migdash was smooth, it was thin, and it was made out of a reed or wood. Umimot Moshe haya, and it was already, that flute was around from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tziva melech v'tzipu zav, he wanted to make it fancy. So the king comes along and says, why don't you coat it with gold? Make it a fancier instrument. They were upgrading in the Mikdash. So one of the things they want to do in terms of the upgrade was to gold plate the flutes. And the sound of the flute was no longer pleasant. So it was, since it was no longer pleasant, they said, They removed the coating. They removed the plating. They returned it to its original state. Tzilzul haya b'mikdash. There were symbols in the Mikdash. They were made out of copper. Actually, if you look in the word tzilzul, so he says chinbas, or chinbals, meaning that symbols. They had a beautiful sound. They had nifgam, and something went wrong. They broke something, they chipped. They brought the best professionals from Alexandria in Egypt. They take no one, they fixed it. But its sound was no longer as beautiful as it was before. They removed the fixed. And therefore it went returned to its original sound, to its beautiful sound. Now, it's an interesting Gemara because it's not clear from here what exactly they took away. There was a problem. There was nifgam. There was crack. Some sort of chip in the instrument. That's why they got it fixed. And then they said they fixed it. It didn't sound right. So they removed the fix. So now what do they have? Do they have the broken instrument again? Or they only removed the aspect of the fix that was ruining the sound? It's not clear here from the Gemara which way it's going. Mechteshet Aita b'Mikdash had a mill in the Mikdash. Shon Nechosh that was made out of copper. Aita Mimot Moshe Aita. It's from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aita Mefatemet B'Samim. And it sweetened or flavored the B'Samim and made them have a wonderful aroma to them from the mill. Because as we know that they believed the sounds that came about around the time of the milling of the B'Samim had impact on how they smelled. That's what we say every day. In the Pitom HaKtoret, they used to say, Hadek, Hetev, Hetev, Hadek, while they were milling the B'samim. Also over here, this Makteshet had a very nice and smooth sound to it, which also is that improved the quality of the B'samim. Nit Pagma, it became damaged somehow. Once again, they brought up these professionals, these artisans from Mitzrayim to fix it. V'tiknuan, they did fix it. So they didn't work, like it didn't sweeten the incense. It wasn't as pleasant an aroma as it was before, when it used to work beforehand. Again, they removed the fix, and then it worked like it used to. So again, the same question to raise about this, as they did with the symbol, is what do they do when they remove the fix? Does that mean it remained broken? Or they just removed a portion of the fix that was dulling the sound or causing the problem? So, elu shnei kelim, these two kelim, meaning that tzilzul, the symbols, and the machteshet, nishtaru mi mikdash rishon. They were left over from mikdash rishon, v'nit pagmu. So, elu shnei kelim, nishtaru mi mikdash rishon, v'nit pagmu. So now here again, it's not clear in the Gemara what the Nit Pagmu means. Does Nit Pagmu mean relate to the stories that we just said over here? Or does Nit Pagmu mean that they were left to Mikdash Rishon, but they were saved with damage from Mikdash Rishon? And they were unable to be cured. Unable to be cured, but they weren't able to be fixed. So again, does it relate to the previous stories where they had broken and they were fixing them and then they removed the fix? Or this is again from Mikdash Rishon coming to Mikdash Sheni and they didn't have the ability to fix them. V'leim Amar David. On them, David says about the kelim in Divrei Yamim, as well as in Melachim Aleph, Nechoshet Mimurat, and then Nechoshet, which is, means burnished and brandished copper. Rashi says the Nechoshet Mimurat is dak. It was very thin. Shekholim the kapulo was so thin that you were able to fold it over. And Mimurak is kalau, that it was light. Mimurat and the Murak over here, Rashi translates as being light and flexible. Although, again, the translations of the words aren't necessarily that way. Translation of the words seems more a modification of the word nechoshet, the type of nechoshet, not the quality of the nechoshet that was there. And that might be why in a second the Gemara is going to discuss the comparison of nechoshet to zahav. Gold also has those properties where it can be very valuable and soft, tracked from its value or from its utility. Aleim omer, uklei nechoshet mutzav, shnayim chamudot. So that there was two beautiful copper kelim. Rabbi Shmuel, how do you explain this? What does it mean, kli nechoshet mutzav shnayim? Means that it was equivalent to two golden kelim of this same entity. V'chad amar shneim shkulim ke'echad shel zahav. The two of them, the two together, were equal to equivalent of one keli that would have made out of gold of this type. Tani Rav Yosef shneim shkulim ke'echad shel zahav. I don't know. I don't know if a gold kli would work. That's why I'm not saying gold is usually associated with value. And so when they say gold, I think they're talking about this copper. These kelim were as heavy or as valuable as a golden kli would have been. They were as good as gold. That's how I would say it. I think that's what they're discussing here. Tanya Rav Yosef Shneim Shkulim Ke'achad Shel Zav. Two of them are equal to like one of Zav. Tanya. Ratomer Shni'im Hayu. There were two of each of them. Shne'amar. Shnayim. Two. Al Dikri Shnayim Ela Shni'im. Doubles. That means there were two symbols. And there were two Machteshot. There were two pieces to the mill or two mills. But they had two pieces to them or two units to them. That's why they're called Shnayim. Not Shnayim to compare to the Zav, but Shni'im. That there were doubles of each of these. The Mayan of the Shiloach was coming out of an opening that was the size of a coin. The king ordered that they widen the opening so more water would flow out. Guess what happened? Instead, less water came out. They took it back, they filled it back in until it was the size it was before. So then it started to flow nicely again. Do not take pride in human accomplishment, because we think we know what we're doing, and in the end, Hashem's creations are much greater. Over here, where you had a small hole, the water flowed nicely. When you made it into a big hole, less water came out. And so, it's Marabu, Nasech Hashem, as well as Rabot, Machshavot, Belevish, Vatzat Hashem, Hi, Takum. Hadrolim, or Hadrolis, lo haya b'migdash. There was no one in the Migdash. My Hadrolim. Ravaya Tavla Gurgadna. Tavla Gurgadna, Rashi claims that that is a Zug Vimbel, a bell with its clapper inside. Mipnei Shikolo Arev. That's one out there. Or Mipnei Shikolo Av. It's a very deep, thick sound. Umarbe Vetanima. And it ruins the other sounds, or confuses the other sounds. So they didn't have a bell in the Mikdash, because it was an overwhelming sound, or its sound was not in concert the other sounds that were there, and therefore they did not have it in the Mikdash. There was some sort of wind instrument in the Mikdash. Rashi says, it's actually the shovel that they used to use to move the ashes off the Mizbeach. Tosafot says, it doesn't sound like it's the same. He says, there are two types of Magrifot. It's Magrifah, that's the shovel. And there's a magrifah that is a musical instrument. It's not that the musical instrument was used to shovel the ashes off the mizbeach. He's unwilling to accept that they were same unit. But now, magrifah yita mikdash, asarat nikavim ayuba. In this pipe, there were 10 holes. Kol echad v'chad motzi asarat minei zemer. And out of each of these pipes, there were 10 hollow wind units that came out that had 10 holes in them. Nitzeit kulam motzi meya minei zemer. You can make 100 sounds out of this. You have 10 pipes extending. Each one of those pipes has 10 holes on it. Of 10 times 10, which gives you 100. B'maditza tano, in a bright, it says, hi ama, it was an ama long, v'gva ama, and it was a high in ama, v'kata yotze demeno, it had a handle, came out of it, v'sara nikavim ayuba, there were 10 holes in it, ko echad echad motzi meya minei zemer, had 100 sounds that came out of it, nimse kula motzia elef minei zemer, it takes 1,000 sounds. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Simanech, how to remember which is which, who says 1,000, who says 100, Matnita Guzma. The bright on the Mishnah are regilim to say things that are exaggerated. We have that in the Mishnah in the Dorim, we have it in the Mishnah coming up, we'll have it in the Ilah, about the Arba Meot Kohanim, used to dip the parochet into the mikveh, we have it by the Korat, snake, Korat Beit Abad, we have that by Nidre Guzma. We also have it by Kulin. We also had an exaggeration there with the 300 kor of deshin that were found on the Mizbeach, on the Regel. It's also these types of things that the Mishnah does derech huzma. So in consistency with that, the Tanaic work here, we would say is the one that is exaggerated. Whereas the Amora that made the statement, which is Avraham Mishmuel, said something that would be more tenable, which is the 100 sounds and not the 1,000 sounds.